Welcome to another inspiring message recorded at Rivers Church.
Well, we are on level 2 of lockdown, which we are grateful for, although of course the COVID-19 pandemic is far from over. Isn't it amazing that things that would have sounded like something out of a sci-fi movie a year ago have become completely normal? Masks, sanitizing, social distancing, all these things are now very much part of our daily lives. A big feature of this pandemic is the increased levels of anxiety and fearfulness that people are experiencing. People are worried, they are concerned, stressed, depressed, they can't sleep, they can't function properly. And let's be honest, there are very real threats to our health and our livelihoods at this time. But on top of that, most people are also spending way more time online than ever before, binging on all the negative news out there. They even have a name for it now. It is called doom scrolling. Perhaps you've heard of it, or perhaps you are a doom scroller. If you are, then you are familiar with those feelings of anxiety and depression that come after having consumed too much bad news. Ben Okri, the Nigerian poet, novelist, and freelancer for TheGuardian.com, says this: "Many friends I've spoken to on the phone said that just from reading too much about the pandemic, there were times at night when they felt pains in their chest or a fleeting inability to breathe. A few moments later, they felt better. After a checkup, they found nothing wrong with them. They had simply imagined intensely the symptoms they read about and began to experience them in their bodies." Can I encourage you and remind you that as followers of Jesus, we don't have to live that way. We don't have to be freaked out or fearful. We can be at peace, even as the whole world seems to be losing its mind. Peace. Isn't that what we desire? To have peace? To be in a space where we are at peace? What do you think of when you hear the word peace? Do you think of a quiet place? My 4 kids often get very noisy. They all try to talk at once. One will be singing, another will be falling about. And I often find myself saying to them, please, just go outside. I just need some peace and quiet. In that moment, peace to me means quiet, the absence of noise. Or perhaps you think of peace as the absence of fighting and arguing. Maybe there has been quite a lot of strife in your family, perhaps between you and your spouse or with other family members, and you find yourself saying, I just want some peace with the people around me. Or perhaps you think of peace as the absence of sickness or the absence of money worries. Perhaps you say to yourself, if only I wasn't sick, or if only I had more money or a stable job, then I would have peace. Or if only they can find a cure for the coronavirus, if only they can release a vaccination, then I would have some peace. But here's the thing. While all these things we desire might be good things and might even give us a measure of peace for a while, they will never give us lasting, true peace. So today, I want to share with you a few thoughts about the real, everlasting peace that is available for you and I. And that is the peace of God. So our title today is Living in the Peace of God. The word peace occurs over 250 times in the Old Testament, and it's the Hebrew word shalom. And even to this day, it's the most common way in which Hebrew people greet each other. They use the word shalom. Now, the word shalom doesn't just mean the absence of trouble. When people say shalom to each other, they are not saying, I hope you stop fighting with your wife and have peace, or I hope you get more money and have peace. No, the word shalom is a lot weightier than that. It carries the concepts of wholeness, completeness, soundness, health, safety, and prosperity, in spite of trouble, even in the midst of trouble. You know, we just sung and prayed that beautiful priestly blessing from Numbers that God gave to Moses. And it is this: the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. God gave this blessing to Moses and said, this is how I want Aaron and his sons to bless the people in my name. This shalom peace is the peace that God wants for you and I. One of the most remarkable verses in the Bible is John 14:27. We will read it in a moment, but the context is this. It's the night of Jesus' arrest. Jesus had just spent the last Passover meal with his disciples, and being fully man and fully God, he knew that in a few short hours he would be arrested, beaten and brutalized beyond recognition, and die an agonizing, humiliating criminal's death on a Roman cross. He knew all this was coming in just a few short hours. It would have been the darkest, most stressful, crushing time in his life. And yet, in this time of dark apprehension and dread, his concern is not for himself and the suffering he is about to go through. His concern is for his disciples. His focus is on encouraging them and strengthening them and helping them. And this is what he said, John 14, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." What an incredible promise, and what an incredible gift. Jesus gave them his peace. And we know this gift of peace wasn't just for his disciples, but also for you and I, because just a little bit later, when he was praying for his disciples, this is what he said, "I am praying not only for these disciples, but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message." In the deepest, darkest period of his life, Jesus' concern was not for himself, but for you and I, that we would have peace in a world full of conflict. What a staggering thought. Now, the word peace in the New Testament is the Greek word eirene, and it carries within it the same implications and weight as the Hebrew word shalom. "Peace I leave with you," Jesus says, "my peace," in all the fullness of the meaning of the word. And of course, he is the only one that can give us the supernatural heavenly peace. Look at this amazing prophecy by the prophet Isaiah, almost 700 years before Jesus was born, speaking of him. "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Jesus is the Prince of Peace, and he gives us his peace. Now, there are two aspects to his peace. Firstly, in Jesus, we have peace with God. Whether people realize it or not, the biggest need of every human being on this planet is the need to have peace with God. By nature, we are sinners, rebels against God. We have been born with a sinful nature. That is our human heritage due to Adam and Eve's sin. But we are also sinners because we continue to sin against God in our thoughts, with our words, and with our actions. Our sin causes us to be at war with God, to be enemies of God. And there is nothing that you and I can do to be reconciled to him and to have peace with him. That is why Jesus had to come to earth. This is what Isaiah said about the death of Jesus on the cross. "He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed." Because of Jesus, you and I are in a position of peace with God. This is what Paul says to the church in Rome. "Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us." And in verse 10, this is what he says, "For since our friendship with God was restored by the death of his Son while we were still enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of his Son." So now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God because our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends of God. We have peace with God, a restored relationship with God through the death and resurrection of Jesus. And this is true for everyone who has put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So today, as a believer, you can take courage and hope from the fact that because Jesus died for your sins, you have peace with Almighty God. You have an eternal destination with him, and nothing you go through in this life can ever separate you from that reality. That is why the gospel is called the good news, and why the Apostle Paul also refers to it as the gospel of peace, in Ephesians 6:15. But Jesus didn't just establish peace with God for us. He also gave us his own peace. Because secondly, Jesus gives us personal peace. Look again at John 14:27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Jesus was not talking about the eternal peace that the disciples would have one day in heaven. He was talking to them about the fear and anxiety they were feeling there and then. Just a short while later, he said this to them, I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart, because I have overcome the world. You know, Jesus was completely honest with his disciples and with us. He has never promised us that bad things won't happen if we follow him. So we shouldn't be surprised or even upset when they do happen. It's part and parcel of living life on planet Earth. We will have trials and sorrows. Things will go wrong, even when we do everything right. But, he says, it's going to be okay. I will get you through this. And not only that, I will get you victoriously through it. I have overcome the world, Jesus says. And if you stick with me, you will overcome too. I give you my peace. The pastor, Nikki Gumbel, had this to say on having peace in the midst of trouble. He says, my own perspective on life changed when a friend wisely pointed out to me that, in a sense, this life is a series of problem-solving exercises. We will never be without problems in this life. If, in the midst of all the challenges, you cannot learn to thrive in the situation in which you find yourself, you will never find contentment. Jesus gives us his peace in the midst of a world that has no peace. Now, the peace of God is a gift to you and I. Jesus has given it to us. But here's the thing about gifts. A gift can be given, but it also has to be received. If I had to say to you, I have here a beautiful gift, an amazing gift, especially for you. It's going to change your life. If I said that to you, I'm sure you'd be excited. But what if I gave you this gift and you said, awesome, thank you so much, I so appreciate it. But then you didn't open it. You just let it sit on your table unopened. Well, it wouldn't help you at all. This could be the most amazing, fantastic gift, and it belongs to you. But until you open it, until you access it, you can't experience it, you can't enjoy it, and it can't change your life. It's the same with the peace of God. Jesus gives us the gift of peace, but we have to open it. We have to access it. So, how do we open this gift of peace that has already been given to us? How do we experience the peace of God in our hearts and our lives? Well, most importantly, we have peace when we spend time with God. It seems so simple, too simple, so most people don't do it. But real peace comes only from God. And so the closer we are to God, the more time we spend in his presence, talking to him and hearing from him, the more of his peace we will experience in our lives. There is such a powerful promise in Isaiah 26, speaking of God. You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. Perfect peace comes when our focus is off the problem, off the trouble, and constantly on Christ. John MacArthur, the pastor, says this, most people who lack peace simply have not taken the time to pursue it. God's peace comes to those with a personal discipline to stop in the midst of the maelstrom of life and take time to seek him. It is a condition of peace that we cease from life's activity and know him. He commands in Psalm 46, verse 10, be still and know that I am God. And of course, you know that beautiful old hymn that says, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. If we want the peace that only God can give, then we need to make time to turn to him daily. Use a daily Bible reading plan to help you read your Bible. A devotional to go with it helps a lot to focus our minds on what we are reading. And Dean's 366-day daily devotional is a great tool to use for this. You can also download the YouVersion app on your phone and access many great reading plans and devotionals this way. Now, you might have heard the story about the pastor who had dinner at the home of a couple in his church. After he left, the wife said to the husband, "I think he stole our spoon." Now, this bothered her for a whole year. A year later, the couple had the pastor to dinner again. Unable to resist, the wife asked, "Did you steal our spoon last year?" And the pastor replied, "No, I put it in your Bible." Now, I bet you there was not much peace in that house. Let no one ever be able to hide anything in our Bibles, because we read them every day. Amen. In Galatians 5:22, Paul says this, "But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." Peace is one of the fruits of the Spirit. Let's think about a fruit tree for a moment. A fruit tree doesn't strive to produce fruit. It strives to be close to the source of its life, which is the soil and water that contains the nutrients it needs. The fruit is simply a result of the tree being in the presence of the right soil and water. In the same way, God is our source of life. And as we draw closer to Him, the Holy Spirit will produce the spiritual fruit we need, one of which is peace. The goal is not the fruit. The goal is a life-giving relationship with God. The fruit of peace is then the product or result of this relationship. So, can I encourage you to turn off your smartphone, turn off Instagram and Facebook and TikTok and News 24 and everything else, and turn to God instead? You know, the wonderful thing is, the more time we spend with God, the more our faith and trust in Him increase. Because we have peace when we trust God. In Philippians 4, Paul gives us fantastic advice, and this is what he says: "Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus." Powerful, isn't it? Don't worry about anything. Well, how do we do that? Because in this life, there's plenty to be worried about. Well, we are able to not worry when we have complete faith and trust that God is in control and that He is going to get us through our challenges. And then we can have supernatural peace, even in the midst of massive storms and turmoil. Now, you might be sitting there thinking, "Oh dear, clearly I don't have enough faith. If only I had more faith, then I could trust God more and have His peace." Well, I love what John MacArthur says about getting more faith. He says faith is primarily thinking. It's not something floating out in space, it's thinking. Thinking about what? God, His person, His attributes, His words, His works, His power, His promises. The more you read about God and think about God, the greater God becomes. And the greater God becomes in your thinking, the greater your faith will be in Him. And the greater your faith, the more eager will be your thankful prayer in the midst of trouble that brings peace. How good is that? And one way in which I have thought more about God and His promises this year is that I've started writing down all the verses that really speak to me about my situation. As some of you might know, I had a hysterectomy at the end of last year to remove an aggressive cancer that had started growing in my body. And this year, I am on what is called preventative chemotherapy to ensure that the cancer will not come back. So far, I've had 14 sessions of chemo, and I have 9 more sessions to go, which will take me to the end of this year. And I just want to also thank you for your prayers for myself and my family. We really appreciate it. So in my situation, every time I read my Bible and I come across a verse that speaks to me about God's love for me, His care of me, His protection, His healing power, I write that verse down. And I read over these verses often. And as I do, my thoughts are focused on how wonderful God is and how much He cares for me. And as I do that, my faith and trust in Him is strengthened and my peace is increased. focusing on God builds our trust in Him and keeps us positioned in the peace of God. Spending time with other believers also helps to keep us focused on God and to build our faith and trust in Him. Connecting with other believers is important. Now, as you know, almost 3 weeks ago on the 4th of August, two massive explosions occurred in Beirut, the capital city of Lebanon. And these explosions were so powerful that they caused at least 177 deaths and 6,000 injuries, and left an estimated 300,000 people homeless. In the days after the devastation, a Lebanese woman contacted the Arabic Facebook page of the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. On the Facebook page, she asked for prayer, and a trained Arabic-speaking volunteer was ready to talk and pray with her. In the midst of this horror, this lady said she was desperately searching for God's peace. As she and the volunteer began to pray together for Lebanon, it turned out that this lady was a Christian for 5 years already. She had a strong relationship with Jesus, and she knew where to go for true peace. Even though she knew the truth of God's love for her, the blast in Beirut had sent this lady searching for someone who shared her faith and could remind her of God's goodness, even in the midst of an awful disaster. She shared with the volunteer that she was in tears throughout their conversation because she was so happy to have someone pray with her. I want to encourage you to make sure you stay connected with other believers who will help you stay focused on the goodness of God. Joining a connect group is a wonderful way to do so. Our online connect groups run every week for 40 minutes on Zoom, and you can sign up via the church website and one of our team will be in touch with you. And then lastly, peace comes through obedience to God's word. And this is an important one, because we will never have peace in this life if we don't obey God's word. In Isaiah 48 verse 18, God speaks to his people and says, "If only you had paid attention to my commands, your peace would have been like a river, your well-being like the waves of the sea." And then in Psalm 119, verse 165, we read, "Great peace have those who love your law, and nothing can make them stumble." So, if God says, keep yourself poor until your marriage day, do it. If God says, forgive those who hurt you, do it. If God says, don't lie or steal or cheat, do it. If God says, humble yourself and seek reconciliation with others, then do it. Do life God's way. Amen. When we love God, when we spend time with Him, when we trust Him, and when we obey Him, we will live in the supernatural peace of God.
We hope you have been blessed and inspired by this message.